Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Gospel according to the Evangelist John Mark from chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, whose priceless blood has redeemed us to God, dear fellow, redeemed in his precious blood. It would doubtless today be described as extravagant. In fact, I'm sure today some would call it poor stewardship. It took 4 years to plan and simply to purchase all the materials to build this house of worship. It took the work of 153,000 men to gather the materials. Its cedar walls were carved. Its furnishings were inlaid with or covered with about 90,000 pounds of pure gold. If my math is correct, that amounts to 1.4 million ounces, which today would amount to $2.4 billion worth of gold. Moreover, the builders insisted on using only the best possible materials. How could they afford to build such a building? It wasn't built on free will offerings. No, all the people bore the load through heavy taxes. Now that I've said that, you all agree that's too much, right? I would agree that such a building would simply be considered by most today extravagant. Far, far too expensive. But I'm not describing the cost of building the temple, the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City. I'm talking about the temple of the Lord, built by Solomon, according to exact specifications given by God. Now, it's certainly true that a building described like that would be far beyond our means as a small congregation in the UP. On the other hand, the attitude of the people that built Solomon's temple was one that we ought to emulate. What attitude was that? Their attitude was that nothing was too good for the God who rescued them from slavery in Egypt and led them and fed them and gave them a rich, bountiful land and all that they had and promised them further eternal life through the coming Messiah. Consequently, they didn't do what so many do today. They didn't seek the lowest bid and the cheapest possible materials. They didn't doubt or question that the Lord would continue to provide for them. They simply asked themselves, are we giving our best to the Lord or are we giving our leftovers? And they were led by their love for the Lord to say, only the Lord is worthy of such beauty and such glory. We give only the best to our God. That's the way it's supposed to be. And giving our best doesn't mean being foolish. It means asking ourselves honestly and individually, what is my best? Does what I give express my thanks for what Christ has done for me? Is this my best, or is this all that I'm willing to give out of what's left over after providing for everything else that I need? May God grant that we each evaluate and honestly ask ourselves such questions as we consider a number of texts during the Sundays of Lent under the theme, Only Jesus. This morning, only Jesus is worth that much. Amen. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. It usually happens to us during the Christmas season, or maybe on a birthday. Someone hands you a gift, and when you open it up, you find some expensive item within. And so you say, you shouldn't have. You've overdone it this time. This is too much. Now, you may mean what you say. You may think that the person ought not to have spent so much on you. But since it would hurt their feelings and would be rude to refuse the gift, you receive it. It seems to me that sometimes when a costly gift is given to us, we tend to forget the nature of a gift, just what a gift is. A gift is something that is freely given by someone else. If it were deserved or earned or expected, it would be called a payment. A gift depends upon someone else's love, someone else's generosity, someone else's kindness. A gift is not what I think someone else should give. A gift is determined by the giver. We're told that Jesus was eating supper in the home of a man named Simon the leper. It appears he had been afflicted with the disease until he had been healed, apparently. As Jesus ate, a woman came with a gift for him, a very expensive gift. It was a bottle of fragrant oil. It was apparently pure, not watered down, and it was valued in excess of 300 denarii. Now, that amount doesn't mean anything to us. Since we don't deal in denarii today, we deal in dollars. A denarius was a day's wage. It was specifically the amount that a Roman soldier earned for a day's work. The woman's gift cost what the average person would make after nearly a year of labor, 300 days. So if you make the current minimum wage, not the suggested one, the cost would be about today $17,400 for that oil. And the woman broke the sealed bottle. She poured the entire contents on Jesus' head. And the smell of her gift must have filled the whole room. We can only imagine. But what should have smelled good to everyone didn't smell so good to others. There were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. The other gospel writers tell us that those who criticized the woman were Jesus' disciples. They assumed that the woman didn't understand the true value of the gift that she gave. And if she had, she certainly wouldn't have wasted it in this way. They offered what they thought was a preferable option to pouring it on Jesus, and they began scolding her for her gift. Why? Well, obviously they believed it to be a waste. I'm sure that none of them would have come right out and said it that day at the table, but they didn't think that Jesus was worth it. It would have been fine to spend a year's wages to feed the poor, but not on such an extravagant gift for Jesus. And I'd guess that had we been there and recognized the value of the gift, we might have agreed. The problem is, the gift was hers to give. What's more, we can only see the gift itself and its value in dollars and cents. We can't see her heart and her reason for giving. It's interesting to note that it's just on two occasions that Jesus praised the gift of someone. Jesus praised a widow in the temple because she gave a mite into the temple treasury. That was a fraction of a penny, a tiny amount. And then Jesus praised this woman's gift, call it a $17,000 gift by today's standards. What in the world could those two gifts have in common? A fraction of a penny and $17,000. This is what they have in common. They were both given in faith. They were both an expression of love. The widow that gave the fraction of a penny gave the last that she had, trusting that God would continue to provide for her because, she reasoned, only God's worth that much. This woman also gave her gift in faith, in love for Jesus, because only Jesus is worth that much. And so Jesus stood up for her and for her faith. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Despite what Jesus' disciples thought, Jesus said what this woman had done was good, a good thing. And he added that there will always be people in need, and there's nothing stopping us from helping them. But they would not always have the opportunity to have the Son of God in flesh and blood in their presence. They would not always have such an opportunity to give to Jesus. And what he said is still true today. There will always be people in need, and we can help them however and whenever we wish. And we should do so knowing that they are objects of Christ's own love, people for whom Jesus died. God has promised that he will provide the necessities of life, and he may use you to do that for someone. We may not always have opportunity, like we do now, to give back to Jesus. I'm not going to suggest that you give 82% of your wages. After all, what's a gift? It's something determined by the giver, not by anyone else. So whatever you give, let it be given cheerfully in faith, an expression of love for Jesus. Let it be done not to keep up with the Joneses, or because you feel you have to. Let all giving, whether it be time, talent, or money, be done in accord with the principle set down in Scripture. You know it. Let each man give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The point for us is that everything we do is to glorify Jesus, because only Jesus is worth that much. Now, in contrast to this, the world will always tell us that we're worth it. Satan will always tell us that's too expensive for church. You can give your old, worn-out things to church, but not your best. It's not a matter of dollar signs deciding the value of a thing. It's a matter of faith, like the woman in her mite, trusting the Lord will continue to provide and so give in faith. It's a principle. Give the best of my time, my talents, to his service. It's an attitude of faith that says, only Jesus is worth that much. And why is only Jesus worth that much? The Apostle Paul answers that question this way. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Only Jesus was willing to give up everything so that we might be blessed with unperishable, spiritual, and eternal blessings. Only Jesus would offer the sacrifice of himself to make us right with God today, tomorrow, and every day. Only Jesus could rise again from the dead the third day to assure us that we possess those eternal blessings. And that's why only Jesus is worthy of the very best of our time, of our talents, of our gifts, and more. So may God grant that by his cross and through his love, we are moved always and in all things to give him our best. Because only Jesus is worth that much. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.